You're listening to Recap.fm's coverage of Amazon's original series, The Boys. I'm Jason.
I'm Josh.
The credits are rolling. Let's talk. All right, so this episode started out with some craziness. Did you read the comic?
I have read like the first graphic novel, but I've not read the whole series. And I kind of, after watching this episode, I kind of want to go back and read the whole thing.
Yeah, it was like, so one, I hear the comic is way more intense.
Oh, absolutely.
I did read the first issue once I heard the show was coming out. Okay. So call me a fair weather fan or whatever. But yeah, I just wanted to know what it was about. And yeah, it's rough. But it's good. I like it.
It's Garth Ennis, right? This is the same guy that brought us Preacher. And that show is nuts by itself.
In its own right.
Yeah. In its own right. And the source material for that is way more Looney Tunes than the show ever could be. So, you know, you kind of know what you're getting into if you're familiar with Garth's work. I'm assuming a lot of people probably aren't. I'm wondering how many people even know that it is a comic book adaptation, because it's not like they overly sold that in the marketing.
No.
Because I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to. We live in the, I almost said post MCU world, but it's not post. It's still going strong.
Watch your mouth. Yeah. It will never die. Just like The Walking Dead.
And I don't want it to. But
I think it did fit in well with having, you know, this anti the establishment, if you will, of like having all the superheroes flip the role. It's like, it was like a guy got tired of seeing all the heroes win. It's exactly what it was.
Yeah. So. And I think we in this world are ready for something like this to kind of maybe hit the reset button or take our breath, you know, get a nice reprieve from all the superhero films. Now, I love them.
Yeah.
But I think the timing was perfect. In fact, we're dropping this season right after Comic-Con and announcing that there's already a season two. So they know what they're doing over there at Amazon Prime. And dare I say, and maybe we'll touch on this a little bit later, but I feel, I don't know, maybe it's just me, the Amazon Prime original content, other than, I mean, a handful of shows. I've heard Fleabag is really good. I haven't checked that out. I love Good Omens. I feel like maybe they're ramping up to kind of really compete with, you know, the HBOs and the Netflix, Netflixes of the world, with Lord of the Rings on the horizon and some other stuff as well.
It hasn't been like that. Like I've had Amazon Prime for maybe 3 years and you know, I jump on there every once in a while, mainly to rent a movie because it's most convenient on that app. But you know, there's not a lot of shows that I'm going back to. I mean, Man in the High Tower was one that I watched for a while.
It's good.
You know, there's little spotty shows that come in every now and then, but nothing like what's coming and what's happening right now. It's on a different level. But yeah, let's jump into this. So we meet pretty quickly, Huey Campbell. So he's working at this AV company, which is like our Radio Shack. And I love that. So it starts in this way of like showing him as this guy that doesn't have any fight in him. He's been needing to ask for a raise for some time, and he just can't get around to it. Even though there's time in the day and he had the opportunities, he's timid. And right away, you know, there's going to have to be some things that unfold for this character to bring him out of his shell. And that happens really quickly.
Oh yeah, absolutely. What a nice, I mean, we're going to peel back the curtain. It's kind of, you know, it's along the same lines as what they did in Batman versus Superman in the sense of, and also in, I guess to some extent, Spider-Man, Homecoming and Far From Home, peel back the curtain to see what is some of the fallout of these heroes and them saving the day. But, oh, by the way, they're also destroying things and destroying lives and causing collateral damage. And we see collateral damage in a very real way for Huey. You know, these are the kind of things that you don't really take time to think about, but it's like in a real world setting, this is very plausible. Robin being just one step off the curb, right? And just getting blasted. And that's a very real thing that could happen. But they take in all of that and they go like level up to take it to the extreme, you know?
And I feel like they did a decent job with having him transition into like a state of vengeance.
Yeah.
Just, you know, even that, like them interacting and talking, you know, and talking about how, like I had to make the first move in our relationship and like, you were too timid to mm-hmm. make that move. And we learn later on, you know, his dad wasn't a fighter either. And that's, it's a family gene that they have. And, but that moment, whether you're a fighter or not, you know,
fight or flight.
Yes. Fight or flight. You get to those moments where something pisses you off more than anything else. For me, it's oftentimes on the road, you know,
understood. You get
those times where you're like, I could fight this person and I want to, and I need to.
Nice.
It's like such a relatable situation. And the fact that my wife's name is Robin, of course it's spelt differently.
Mm.
I was like, ah, damn.
Oh, it's too real.
It's too real. Damn real. But that was, I think it was a great introduction to not even just like superheroes that are in this universe or the character, but really like what you're going to be sitting through and watching and the roller coaster you're going to be on with the show. You know, seeing A-Train run through Robin. And I think that it was a good tone to set the show off on.
I agree. Because like you said, he's highly relatable, right? Because we all, to some degree, even if we aren't exactly like him in all aspects of our lives, there's going to be some aspect or some scenario where we're going to be hesitant to speak up because we're afraid or there's a fear of reprisal or it's just, you don't have any fight in you, but we see that he does, you know, when you back a man into the corner, you're going to see what he's made of. And what I like is what a juxtaposition of Annie, Starlight's character.
Yeah,
you know, she is a fighter. Mm-hmm. Right. But here we see her getting invited to
join the seven,
the seven and all the
loved,
realities,
how they set that up, like this pageantry, this, you know, child superheroes in this universe. It was so awesome. There's nothing that drives me more batshit crazy than parents who are forcing their kids into pageantry.
Right.
There's just something disgusting about it.
Gosh. We're not going to start covering
those type of
shows.
My Frank's Little Beauties from Always Sunny.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think I had made a promise to everyone that we would never do a recap show of a reality show. And I hope
a promise we can keep.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, if my wife was a regular, she would change that up, but we'll let that not happen.
That's right.
But so I liked that world building that was happening early on. So, you know, superheroes exist. They're real. They're, in fact, more than just real. They're average and normal. Like, you know, it's like being the popular kid. And that's really all it was. And in this world, the popular kid can kill multitudes of people at the snap of their finger and get away with it because they're the popular kid.
Well, there's also a lot of growing up that has to be done for these characters in this world, at least the ones that see the world as they want to see it. Because the other part of the superhero scenario is they're owned by this big corporation called Vought. And their goal is to have a superhero in every small city, every small town, because it's big business. And we see how much big business it is as the episode progresses. And again, going back to Annie, she literally gets a taste of what the corporate world can be, and how you find yourself in a situation where you may need to make a choice and ask yourself if you're willing to compromise your ideals and compromise your morals to obtain this thing that you thought was this this goal that you wanted. And it still is a thing that you want, but you didn't realize what you may have to do to obtain that. You know, and this is, it's superheroes grounded in very real world, everything is friggin' gray, and every decision is not necessarily right or wrong. Well, I think some of them are.
Sure.
But what I'm trying to say is you find yourself having to question what you believe and what you perceive the world to be, and your ideals are not necessarily true.
And she's ultimately in her mind being ruled by this idea or this person that her mother always wanted her to be, you know? And so she's raised in this life, and to have to encounter that situation and know that the wrong decision leads to disappointing either her or her family, that's tough. And to to have to approach that. And it's so relatable to look at that and think about the lives that are the choices that you have to make in life, you know, growing up, being an adult. Maybe some people haven't had to make those choices yet, but they will come where you have to, you know, make a decision of does this benefit me? Is it helping me, or am I doing this for someone else? And I think that was such a smart way to relate a superhero to average people.
Yeah. But also sexual harassment right out of the gate. Just here it is.
Throw that in there.
Just here it is. Damn. And hey, if you want to join up, you're going to have to do this thing, 'cause I could make it really bad for you.
And he wore some Speedos in his time.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Pasty white cheeks.
Hell of a tan line.
Yeah.
But as far as relatable, that phone conversation with her mom after that, when she was on the cusp of telling her what went down, man, that was heart wrenching because, you know, I think we've probably all experienced that kind of conversation where, you know, you've left home, you know, that's a big deal. You're trying to strike out on your own, and some real stuff goes down, and you want to try to talk to somebody about it because you should, because that's messed up. That's not, how the world should work. People should not be able to get away with that kind of harassment. I mean, I don't think this is a scenario where she was going into, you know, this is not a Harvey Weinstein kind of thing where she was walking, you know, because she had this ideal of, well, heroes are good. Heroes are wholesome. The furthest thing from her mind clearly was that she would have to deal with, making this dire choice. It's gut-wrenching to watch someone make a decision that in their heart, they know it was wrong. They did it anyway. And they're just, certainly there's some regret. She was not liking herself too much. And can we,
this I feel is like, why, this is why they tell you never meet your heroes.
That's right. Never, never meet
that at all costs.
You know, and
I'm going to disappoint you.
There is so much truth to that. If we could just talk about the bench scene between Annie and Huey really quick, because this is a pivotal scene, not just from the comic that I feel like they pretty well maintained and kind of, but you have to include it. I want to talk about it because I don't want to forget. And I tend to forget things. And then later on I'll be like, damn it, I wanted to talk about that. But I believe that this scene between Huey and Annie on the park bench is pivotal to the series as a whole. This is the tone and the kind of the throughput that is being placed out in front of us, which is him being milquetoast, but now on the cusp of being a fighter, right? And her being the opposite, being a fighter that has got knocked on her ass. But that's him encouraging her. That's not who you are. Her encouraging him. And so that relationship, I really want to see that develop. That's going to be cool. But I also want to see how that continues to play out, because to me, that is the main idea of the show, all wrapped up into that one scene right here in the first episode.
It's great, too, because it's a source of not only like reprieve from Butcher, the diabolical nature of these people and even of the show. It's also a source of conflict or potential conflict in the future with her being one of the seven.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So it's a lot wrapped up in it. A lot.
It is. In that one scene, we've possibly seen a solution to a problem and a thousand more problems involved with it. So
just excellent writing. No, excellent, great. Excellent writing, for sure.
And yeah. You know, so oftentimes with shows like this, I tend to get my hopes up because it's a concept that I feel like I know I would enjoy, but I'm oftentimes pretty disappointed with maybe it's the writing or the acting. But in this show, I was pretty on par for where I had set my feelings. And I think that that's pretty rare. And I loved that. I was like super delighted with that throughout the whole episode.
Well, I think for me, once I knew that the dudes behind Preacher, you know, Goldberg and Seth Rogen, it's Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen, and then Eric, is it Kripke? I believe is how you pronounce his name. The guy that was behind Supernatural. This show has been on for what, 13, 14 seasons. It's in its final season now.
Oh yeah.
You know, to knowing that they're behind it, once I heard that, it's like, well, I really don't need to know too much more. I mean, they had me at the fact that it was an adaptation of Garth Ennis's comic book. You had me at that. But then you start telling me you're bringing these guys on board. It's like, okay, cool. This is going to be good. And
we're in a good place.
We're in a good place. You know, having was it Jack Quaid, main character, Huey? You know, you know, he's the son of Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, right? He's performance. Got good blood. Yeah, it's in his blood. It's in his blood. But I also feel like he's capturing that. It's like an understated performance. I feel like he's really got a good hold on that guy that's in the in between. He's trying to change, and he's trying to hold back because he has those flashbacks of, you know, the things that he wants to do. Right.
He's a real Simon Pegg of character.
Yes. So it's fitting that's. Like,
Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Vibe to him.
Yeah. And we were talking about that earlier, actually. Simon Pegg wrote the introduction to when they released the graphic novel, because Garth Ennis had said that Simon Pegg was the inspiration for the character of Huey in the comic book. So it was very fitting to have him play a role, because it's the same. That's the same kind of thing that Simon Pegg does. Right. He plays those perfectly, you know, and I'm really, let's talk about the Butcher.
Yeah. Let's keep moving. So, shortly after all of that situation goes down, and this is also a pretty pivotal role in why Butcher even wants to get involved in the first place, was the suit show up after a train plows his way through the blood and guts that was Robin, and they offer him $45,000 to pay off his woes, his grief,
which seems like a lot until you
a decent amount of money.
Yeah, it's
until
decent.
until you think, oh, I loved her.
Yeah,
it's a loved one.
There's that.
Priceless.
But then also, when we hear how much it costs per year for Baltimore to have their own superhero, they're asking $300 million a year. I'm like, this is
no big deal.
Pittance.
Petty cash.
Yeah.
So that created a good opportunity for Butcher to come in and say, "I can use this situation. I want you to take this money, and I want you to work for me." Mm-hmm. This is good. So in this episode, we didn't get a full introduction to the boys.
That's really right.
Butcher and Huey kind of exploring their relationship. Mm-hmm. Butcher taking in Huey and showing him the depravity that these superheroes are and the shit that they get into at the wild, like, no rules bar. Mm-hmm. People are floating in the air having fornication.
Miniature men are running and diving into vaginas. It's you know, standard stuff.
Oh, my God. It's,
hey, happens here every Friday night.
What you going to do? But all the while, I loved Butcher showing Huey the video of A-Train. And this is really what sparks the fury inside of him, is seeing how little he thought of the situation.
Oh, yeah.
After he had publicly, quote unquote, apologized, you know, it's kind of like the, I'm sorry, but really wasn't my fault.
I'm sorry you're upset.
Yes. swallowing her molar when he ran through her like a bug. What fury.
Man,
what fury,
you know, but, and I was thinking about this, you know, we catch ourselves doing some, not to this extent, but we'll do that. Right. We'll talk about a situation or someone will, you know, there's times where you reflect on something, you kind of laugh at something. It's like, but there's people involved, you know, and this is not okay. And, you know, making fun of this situation, making light of this is just, of course, it's over the top, but more to really drive home the point of these guys can do whatever they want and clearly do, you know, it's more world building from that perspective. But yeah, it's the thing that's really sets Huey over the top.
Because it's a machine.
Yeah.
This marketing machine that has so much momentum behind it.
Typical.
And it's hard to stop things like that. It's hard to stop a train.
Yeah, typical, you know, corporate stuff. Everybody's trying to get their cut, and we got to make money for the shareholders. And it's like,
it's all that damn Madeline Stilwell running this, this corpo.
Yeah, yeah. It was good to see Elizabeth Shue again.
Let's talk a little bit about her
and
her role that she's playing, and maybe even so there's a deeper relationship there with her and damn it. Why am I tripping right now?
I don't know. Get it together, man.
Shit.
It's okay.
I forget.
It's all right. Homelander. There you go.
Thank you. You dug me out of that one. So there's something deep in there going on with her and Homelander. There was a relationship in the past, one can suppose. Mm-hmm. So she is driving this train. She's driving this marketing giant, and she's making all the deals and really is the puppet master to these superheroes. And that's something so crazy that money is at the end the biggest superpower of all.
That's right.
And it controls these people who wouldn't have to blink. And they talk about this, you know, they bring up, and I think that that's going to be more conflict later on, is like dealing with like, why do we have to listen to what these people are saying? We can do whatever we want. We're superheroes. Mm-hmm. So I like this building of her kind of having them by the balls.
Yeah.
So to speak.
What has she got?
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I think they kind of touched on that a little bit too. That's why they included the scene of the mayor, you know, right. Well, I'm sorry. What was it? Compound V. Compound V. Yeah. So
a little shoot up.
Yeah. Laying the groundwork, because on the outside looking in, you're like, okay, these are heroes that can do well. I don't even want to call them heroes anymore. These are people with power that can do whatever they want. How are you keeping them in check? How does someone like the Butcher think that he can keep them in check? He purports that he's from the feds. Clearly that's right. Not the case. So I'm excited to see where they go. Second episode. I think that we'll maybe get an introduction to the actual boys. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that continues to flesh out, because there's a lot going on there. I think I'm gonna go on a limb and say that I didn't think this was a fantastic first episode, and let me explain why.
Go on.
Well, part of my question to you is, do we feel like we're getting to the point where we're desensitized to some degree? And so some of these things where they want to have them, and I don't think they did anything in this episode purely for shock value, but is there anything that's shocking anymore? And I say that because we know in the comic, it goes way more gonzo. And I think if they did that stuff, yes, I think legitimately we could say it is shocking and it would be talked about. So why aren't they including some of those things? I mean, I think we know the answer to that, but it's like, I guess I'm a little desensitized in the sense that nothing really shocks me anyway. But what I did appreciate is they set up, I felt like they did a good job of setting up the main characters. Especially that of Huey, and we know why he's upset, and I'm kind of pulling for him, but you know, I want to see him flesh out a little bit more. I'm pulling for Annie as well. You know, the Butcher's cool because it's Carl friggin' Urban. So, you know, they've done enough to make me want to watch more, and I appreciate that. I'm just not saying I would give, if I had to give it like 5 stars, I'd give it like 3.5. I wouldn't say it was I wouldn't say it was absolutely fantastic, but I do want to see more.
Yeah. So I would say on the desensitized, you know, it's hard because I'm coming into shows with information.
Yeah.
I think if I would have started that show and had no clue what I was getting into, didn't look up the comic, didn't hear rumors, you know, hadn't talked to people about it. Like, I think some things would have possibly caught me off guard, but yeah, I mean, I am definitely desensitized, and I think it's impossible not to be. The amount of fucking television that's out there right now, overloaded, and
it's too much.
We're at the golden age of it all, and
we are.
So yeah, that is tricky. I do love what they've set down as the foundation.
I agree.
I think it's fine that we didn't meet all the boys. I think that that'll come in time, and you know, there will be time allocated for meeting each individual. And so I like that. I like that the focus was this relationship. I think those three core relationships of Huey, Annie, and Butcher, and really setting those up to see what that foundation will kind of, you know, unfold itself to be. So I like that a lot.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to The next
episode. Homelander cuts an airplane in half at
the end. with a child on it. He's a monster. He's a friggin' monster.
He is a monster.
Yeah, I want to know more about him for sure.
Yeah, sure. There's some hurt there.
Well, cool. All right. Cool. Well, I thought it was a great episode. Looking forward to episode 2. Hopefully you guys listening will come back and hear some more. We'll get some more of these episodes out as soon as possible. I know a lot of you probably already watched the whole thing, and that is cool. But, hey, we've got other shows, too, that we're doing on our recap.fm network. We'd appreciate if you gave them a listen or at least check them out. You can go visit our website at recap.fm. There's a newsletter. We'd like for you to get on there. That way you can know what's coming up, what's coming out. We got Chernobyl out already. We got Good Omens, Stranger Things, with a lot more things coming up. What do we got? Watchmen.
Yeah, man, dude, the fall is going to be unfolding. We have, Witcher. We have Lord of the Rings is coming down the road. I'm so excited for
that. Like next year, though.
Right, but it's coming.
It's coming. It's so, coming. Yep.
Nonetheless, if there's a new show coming out, we're likely going to have a show on it. I feel like we have
most likely
80% of what's out there right now.
Unless you send us a note saying, please don't do that. We're worried for your health. You're recording way too many podcasts and you really should get some sleep. But on that note, hey, we do want to hear from you. So you can catch us on social media at Recap FM, and we want to hear from you. And we will we'll talk to you next time.